This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
And welcome to the Detours Travel Show here on Joy 94.9 on this fabulous Saturday.
Isn't it fabulous, Jode? It's a beautiful, beautiful day.
It's a gorgeous autumn day. And this is the Detours Travel Show right up until 1 o'clock today here on Joy. And I'm delighted to welcome one of our guests today, Lindsay, who's joining us today for the first time. So welcome to the program, Lindsay.
Thank you, Jodie.
We're very excited to have you here. And
very excited.
Very excited.
Have you involved in the program?
Thank you.
And how are you, Macca?
I'm good, Jode. Now, I know some of our listeners are interested in the Grand Prix and some are not. So, by way of a compromise, sometime during the show, probably in the early part, we're going to speak to Father Fadayev, who's down at the Grand Prix, and also Mick Doohan. Mick Doohan, who usually speaks to us once or twice a year, usually from Classic Adelaide, five times World Motorcycle MotoGP champion, Lindsay.
Oh.
And an all-round good bloke.
That means a lot to me, the GP business.
Did you hear it this morning?
No, I didn't actually, but a few years ago I was living in Fitzroy and I really thought there was a nasty mosquito hovering around my head because I heard all that business. I really thought it was a mosquito, but no, it's all, I have no idea what's going on with it.
Oh, it's, you know, guys racing around in very, very expensive cars around a track. But actually, you know who else is there? Jodie's shaking her head. No idea.
Do I care?
No. Susie Stoddart. She's a female race driver from Germany. She's out here as a guest of the company I work for. And she is over the moon about being in Australia. She loves it. And quite rare. Female race driver, absolutely at the top of her profession. And really, really interesting. Really, really interesting. So,
very good.
Well, have you got any Cheerios, Jode?
No Cheerios today, but I do have Greg waiting on the line from Tassie.
Let's speak to Greg.
We might go straight to him, who's down in Tasmania visiting some friends and maybe in Hobart, Salamanca Place. And let's see if he's here. Hello, Greg.
I am, Jode. I'm down in Salamanca Market.
Very good.
Here in Tassie. And I'll tell you, there are four plane loads of people that left Melbourne this morning, refugees from Bernie Eccleston's Grand Prix, so we've all come here together to celebrate.
You can probably still hear it though.
We probably can. Actually, last night was the start of 10 days on the island, which is a Nazi festival here in Hobart, and so it's kicking off last night down by the waterfront, and tonight it's going to be huge with all these different displays and floating exhibitions and everything. It's an awesome place.
You did say arts festival, didn't you? It sounded like something else.
It's just the long-distance phone. So, are you enjoying your time, Greg, in Tasmania?
It's awesome. Yeah, I visited Richard at the Tas Pride stall. He shares with his partner, Michael Roberts, who's a photographer. So you've got, you know, the beautiful photographic scenes of Tasmania, and you've got the Tas Pride stall, which is promoting gay and lesbian community here in Hobart and Tasmania. It's just a fantastic place to come visit.
Now, did you fly or catch the canoe?
I came down in one star today. It was quite good. In fact, I'm looking at a stall with a pair of one star orange socks here.
Oh.
So, yeah, they've even got a sock market that's about four pairs for a dollar.
Well, you better buy them because you won't get them on the plane for free.
Well, have a great time and enjoy Tasmania. You can hear birds cheeping in the background.
And have fun with your brilliant guest later on, Nitin Gulati, with his fabulous film that was shown last Tuesday at Queer Film. So enjoy your day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for joining us, Greg.
Cheers.
And that was Greg Adkins, who's one of our partners in crime on the Detours Show. Now, we've got a song coming up, which is Peace Train by Cat Stevens. And then shortly after that, we'll introduce Nitzan Galadi, who is all the way from Israel, who will be talking to us about an amazing documentary that was screened this week at the Queer Film Festival called Jerusalem is Proud to Present.
Now, I reckon Peace Train might be older than Lindsay and I.
It may well be. I wasn't born.
She's going to play the 78 now.
I'll get on to that. Stay listening to Joy here on the Detours Travel Show right up to 1 o'clock.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come.
gay and lesbian radio for Melbourne, Australia and the world at joy.org.au.
And welcome to the Detours Travel Show. You're joined today by Lindsay, Jody and Macca. And
that was Peace Train by Cat Stevens, as if you didn't know. All heard it.
That's right, here on Joy 94.9. And I'm delighted to introduce our very special guest all the way from Israel, Nitzan Galati, who is here in Melbourne for the screening of his documentary Jerusalem is Proud to Present here at the Melbourne's Queer Film Festival. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
We're delighted that you could join us, and I understand you've been in Australia for about a month or so.
Yes, and it's just lovely, lovely, lovely. No words to express the joy that I'm having here. It's just perfect.
Well, we like that, a bit of joy. So where have you been? Where have you been in Australia?
Where have I been? It's my fourth trip here.
Yep.
And so this time I was mostly in Sydney, sort of like enjoying the city. I love when I travel to, you know, spend time in the neighborhood, you know, be like sort of like see how people live and get into the not into the tourist stuff. So I've spent a lot of time in Potts Point, which is a very, very, very gay neighborhood.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's called Poof's Point.
Poof's Point. And it felt like, you know, it felt like, okay, it's only gays that live in Sydney. It's really funny. It's like you go and it's like, oh, okay, it's a village and, you know. So, but it's just lovely to sit in the cafes. And I went to a few times to the library, worked on my fiction script that I'm just writing. And just having, you know, a lovely time. Went to the beach a few times. What else? Saw a show of I forgot her name. She's a famous singer.
Avita?
Tina Arena.
Tina Arena. Yes. Yeah, she's a fabulous Australian woman.
Yeah, it was really great. And that's basically it, yeah. And I also, the one thing that I forgot to do is, like, for the first time in my life, I marched in the first flow with Matt Mitchum's float, and it was just amazing.
Oh, really, at Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Amazing. And so you're visiting here in Melbourne, and your documentary screened on Tuesday this week, and both Lindsay and I and Greg had the privilege to see it, and it was really an amazing, amazing, moving story.
Thank you.
Could you tell us what inspired you to make this documentary, and what is the documentary about?
First of all, the documentary is about, for the first time in history, you can say, Jerusalem was about to host the World Pride event in the year of 2006. And right away when we heard about this, you know, news, we knew that that's going to create a lot of conflict. And unfortunately, when you make a film, you look for a conflict because that's the only way you can sort of like tell a story. So actually, my co-producer, Gali Bador, approached me, and then we, you know, decided that this could be a great, great, great project. We had no idea that, you know, we'll get to a point where there'd be so much resistance against this event. So at the beginning, you know, we thought that it's just going to be this, you know, wonderful documentary with a little bit resistance, and we can explore a little bit of what's going on in Jerusalem. But it turned out to be like this really a bit scary by how people reacted to the idea to do the World Pride. And I mean, for me, it was very important to do it, first of all, because just half a year before I started filming this documentary, I came out to my parents. So I felt that this is, up until now, I've made about 5 documentaries. And this was actually the first film that I did about the gay subject. So for me, it was sort of like, okay, it's about time, you know. I was 35 and, okay, let's do it. Let's face it, because I had a lot of problems dealing with, you know, sort of like my sexuality, I can say. So that turned into sort of like also a personal journey, facing the fears and the obstacles that the organizers of the event had to face. So yeah.
And what were those obstacles that they had to face? I mean, I've always been interested as to that when Jewish people take a very hard anti-homosexual line, for a society and a culture and a religion that's been oppressed for so long, to then, you know, reverse that oppression onto, you know, people, sexuality's not, isn't chosen, you're born with it, as opposed to a religion which you do choose. So how did they oppose it? Was it a very strong political statements they were making, or, you know, the usual stuff that, you know, it's wrong and it's written and it's unnatural and all that?
Well, first of all, not everybody, a lot of people still don't believe, I mean, especially from the extreme religious groups, they don't some of them don't believe that, you know, you're born with it, because, I mean, you...
Oh, of course we'd all choose it. I mean, it's a fabulous thing to see.
It's a fabulous life. Yeah.
There's a scene that, you know, one of the characters from the ones that against the parade was saying, you know, homosexuality can be cured by medicine. Oh. And you know, they presented all this, said, you know, that gays have 500 sexual partners a year. They do all these orgies. They have all these, like, old... old sort of like stereotypes about the whole idea. So it was a bit stereotype, you know. It's as if, you know, we went back 20 years almost, and people still, it was shocking to hear that, you know, to see that there's no progress. But they had to face the obstacles and the fear. It's mostly, you know, there were death threats.
Yep.
There were all these riots that turned out into, you know, they literally at the end burned the streets of Jerusalem, which was a bit scary. Mm-hmm. A lot of aggressiveness, you know, all these trying to find ways how to stop this event, which you know, it started with that scene when you see for the first time the representative of the three religions coming together to this meeting and condemn the idea to do the march, and you go like, oh my God, that's what you're meeting for, you know, for the first time, you know, you shake hands for that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the gays, that's your main goal. Yeah,
a couple of thousand years of history, we'll forget about that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that part was very interesting as well, because I actually had a little bit of a chuckle, because, you know, gay people love each other, we don't hate each other, and there are the three master religions, shall we say, of the world sitting there and coming together still again over hatred, over people who just love each other. It was almost comical.
Yeah, I felt that was the first scene that I shot, and I felt, I was like, you know, watching it, and I couldn't believe, and I had to hold the camera, because it was just so funny to hear those sentences that they say, you know, Jerusalem is not the homoland, it's the holy land, and God created Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve, and you go like, oh my God, where did you hear all that, you know, because they basically did research, you know, for that, and I felt like it was sort of like the, you know, the drag show of the other side, because they were all wearing these costumes, and it was just unbelievable to watch it, to actually see that, you know, things like that happen, you know.
Sorry, David.
No, okay. Georgie.
Well, Nitsan, I was going to say the gay and lesbian communities in Jerusalem would have had their really difficult time of excitement, but also their own trepidation about the World Pride March in 2006. How did they cope with it?
Well, you see, first of all, I have to say about the organizers, these people I just admire. You know, they are real true activists that work for not just gay rights, but also human rights. You know, there's a center in the which is called the Open House. It's the LGBT center in Jerusalem, and it's actually located in the center of the city, and that's what they do every day. They, you know, they wake up in the morning and they do that, and sometimes, you know, I watch them and I went, my God, this is so, I really had so much respect for that, because, you know, in these times we tend to think about ourselves a little bit, about our career and how, you know, how we progress, you know, how we reach this and that, and they did a really wonderful job, and still do a wonderful job working also with the Palestinian community in Israel. And what was lovely to watch is that they always have that belief. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't matter what happened, they still stayed quiet and calm, and they found the strength in them. I really don't know how they did that, because there was just so many things that, you know, I have to hold myself in order not to be aggressive and to respond the same way the other side responded. Because it's very easy, you know, when you start to have sort of like this war, you want to react, you want to express. I mean, if someone shout at you and curse you, you want to respond the same way. And they were all the way, they found, you know, found the way how to sort of like not play the same game. And to know that this is a very important event, and we're going to make, you know, we'll find the way how to do it. As much as, you know, it's been stopped, every move that they did, they almost was stopped by the resistance. And also the event was postponed because of the Gaza withdrawal, and then after that the Lebanon war. And it was just like, you went like, okay, it's unbelievable that they still believe that it will happen. So,
and it was interesting too, Nitsan, because when you showed the two main activists, I can't remember their names, the male and the female, and the support, like the main guy that he was getting from his mother, and then there was a guy who was stabbed at the Pride March earlier that
Adam
year.
Russo.
Yeah, and it was great the way you showed, well, here we go, here we have these people who are really stuck in these, well, can we say antiquated views of the world, and here are these wonderful parents supporting these kids. It was a really good
That was very important for me, because of, you know, like I really wanted to give this opportunity for my family, my parents, to watch the film and see that how, you know, other families cope with the gay subject, and you know, their sons and daughters, and just to see how normal it is, and how, you know, supportive you could be, and how important it is also for your child, you know, to have that support. And it also shows like the contradiction in Israel and Jerusalem, yeah. Because on one hand you'll see the Orthodox extremes groups that were against it, but on the other hand there's a lot of progress and a lot of openness also in the city of Jerusalem. So it was, yeah.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to continuing talking about Jerusalem is proud to present by Nitsan Gilardi here on the Detours Travel Show, and we'll be back in just a few moments here on Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Detours on Joy 94.9. Hope you're enjoying the show. Are you there, Father Fadayev?
I'm here.
Now, you're down at the Grand Prix. How come I can't hear any noise? You're hiding in the toilet.
Well, the cars are off the circuit at the moment, and I'm actually in the loo, but no, actually, I'm not. The cars have just gone off the circuit, which is the prime time to talk, because you can't talk when the damn things are on it.
I know, they're so bloody noisy, aren't they? Now, you've got Mick Doohan with you.
Yeah, five-time MotoGP world champion. He's standing right next to me. Do you want to have a word?
Oh, I do. Put him on.
Here he is.
G'day, Mick.
How are you?
How's things? How are you enjoying the Grand Prix?
Oh, it's not too bad. Lots of walking, you know, so I can't complain.
Oh, well, you're in a place now with lots of Terps and Tucker.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The Mercedes facility here is fantastic, you know. You wouldn't want to be in any other position on the circuit.
Oh, fantastic. Now, what's your tip for tomorrow? Who do you reckon, have you been looking at the form of the guys racing round?
I have, but to be honest, I haven't thought too much. But last night I was having dinner with Michael Schumacher and one of the test drivers from one of the other teams, and you know, it really does seem that the
Braun team,
the Braun team, seems like the one everyone seems to be concerned about for the distance of the race. You know, in qualifying, it's going to be a different story. But I guess the qualifying today is going to really sort of, I guess, open everybody's eyes to sort of have a little bit of a format for what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people in Melbourne, and some of our listeners, don't enjoy the Grand Prix so much. What do you think are the main reasons that a city like Melbourne should stage a Grand Prix?
Well, you know, without a doubt, it's you know, I think any of these circuits, these street circuit events, whether it be Monte Carlo or Melbourne or whatever, you know, I think the atmosphere is multiplied by a factor of about 10, and I think the the direct economical benefits to the society within the surrounding areas and the state, you know, forget about, you know, promoting the city overseas and so on and so forth. And you've got to just put out of your mind probably about, I'm not sure exactly how long this takes to set up, but there is some disruptions to the neighbours and so on and so forth, which, you know, once it's gone, they all forget about. But the, you know, I think even a lot of these guys who probably complain about it sort of understand the benefit behind having something like this in their backyard.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let's all keep our fingers crossed that, you know, there's no incidents on the track this afternoon. What time's practice kick off again?
Practice is, I think it's 2 o'clock today.
Okay.
And so it's probably 2 till, you know, let's say it's 2 till 3, I think, an hour, or 2 till 3.30, and then it's 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock until 6 o'clock is qualifying. So the race tomorrow starts at 5. I think it's the first year that they've done this a twilight event, just, you know, mainly to benefit the Europeans who watch it religiously on a Sunday in Europe. So it'll sort of go to air at roughly around 9 or 10 o'clock Central European time. So, you know, people will wake up and have their morning cappuccino and be watching racing down here in Australia. So it should be a good Sunday morning for most people.
Fantastic. Well, look, thanks for having a quick chat. We didn't get to chat to you last year during Classic Adelaide, but I'll be there tomorrow, so I look forward to catching up again. And thanks once again for having a chat on Joy.
Absolute pleasure.
Okay.
Cheers.
See you, Mick.
Bye-bye.
And you're listening here to the Detours Travel Show here on Joy with Jodie Macker and Lindsay. And we'll be with you till 1 o'clock. And the time now is about 33 past 12. Joining us here is Nitzan Galadi, who is a documentary filmmaker for all the way from Israel. And he is here in Melbourne for the screening this week on Tuesday, last week, of his film called Jerusalem Is Proud to Present as part of the Queer Film Festival. And welcome again, Nitzan.
Thank you.
Now, I want to know, how does it feel being in another country with a film that you've obviously put so much passion into and so much work? How does it feel sitting in the audience watching it and I suppose taking in people's reaction? What's it feel like?
It's almost like, you know, you watch it and there are times that I don't really believe that, you know, the camera actually captured those images of hate. And then also it's almost like taking you back to the, reminds you the time that you were there. It's almost like I'm entering the same sort, yeah, of like path that I was in. So, and at times it's even emotional for me, because I, you know, when you film, when you're making a documentary, especially if you also are the cameraman, it's there's something that is detaching you from,
yeah,
it, you know. So you're not really, it's almost like, oh, this is a set, this is something that I can't touch in a way.
And scenes would actually, you know, that are up on screen, you'd be remembering what also was happening off camera or other things.
Oh, yes.
That, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, we shot about 180 hours.
Yeah.
And the film is 82 minutes.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of things that are not in the film. There also the part of, you know, me, the director, that looks at the film and you go, oh, my God, this is bad. I should have done that.
Oh,
oh, this is too long. And it's like, oh, yeah, you know.
Was there any time, though, Nitzan, during the filming? Because some of these people are, well, they are very, very severe, shall we say. But was there any time where you just thought, no, I can't do this? This is just hitting me too hard?
I think that the only time that I felt that it was too hard, it was when the riot started, very much close to the end, when the event was supposed to happen, when it turned to be a bit too violent, when basically when you walk in the streets of Jerusalem, you could, it was scary. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that time I was like, okay, I can't do it anymore. I don't want to do it, you know, because it's just like, you never know what will happen, you know. You can walk in the street and someone will lose his mind and start to be, you know, like...
And it was interesting, too, because there were no gay people on the street doing any of this. It was, you know, they, like you said before, these people are just so full of hatred, and the diplomacy that we see of these activists just saying, well, we're just going to handle it the best way that we know.
Yeah.
But it was absolutely terrifying. It's something that we've never seen here, so I know it hit a chord with many in the audience.
Yeah, but and I must say, though, that... you know, we talk about Jerusalem, we talk about Israel, but I mean, one of the reasons why I did the film was because I think that we all have to still remember, you know, we live in the center cities, you know, New York, Melbourne, Sydney, Tel Aviv, all these big cities, and I think that the gay community live freely and happily, but it's still, there's so much to do outside of the big cities. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
'Cause, and it's not just Jerusalem that you see that resistance. If you go to East Europe, Middle America, the hate is unfortunately still, you know, living, you know, and it's something that we have to remember, because sometimes we're really caught up with our life and we forget that, you know, youth in some places have to deal with a lot of, do you know?
And I sometimes wonder how the, you know, wherever it is, whether it's in, you know, in America or Eastern Europe or, you know, in Israel or somewhere in the Arab world, how these people would sustain themselves without their hate for us.
Yeah, exactly,
I really,
David.
You know, it's almost like it's, you know, it's the fuel for their fire.
Yeah.
And I think, they're you know, it's interesting that their hate for us is just so strong and sustains them so much. And I freely admit I'm an atheist, but if there is somewhere else, when they get there, they're going to be in trouble.
I agree, David.
They're going to be in trouble.
One thing that really struck me, and it's in your documentary, Jerusalem is Proud to Present, is the councillor, the gay councillor, who was part of the local council, and he was openly gay, and his mother and he were sitting at a kitchen table, and she, you know, sort of the love expressed between them was just so amazing and unconditional love.
Oh yeah.
And yet he had experienced all sorts of hate crimes and you know, posters with his picture up on it and his own personal home mobile number and his mother's phone number was published there. I mean, how intrusive. But his resilience and was amazing.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's probably the passion and the belief that they, you know, for a change, that they have these group of people. And especially Sar, because he was, you know, he had to face on a daily basis, because he goes to the those meetings all the time, and you know, the Orthodox being really rude and weren't really shy about expressing their opinion or just laughing at him and that. So he had to deal with that on a daily basis, and it's pretty amazing when you watch it and you go like, my God, you know, how could you do that? Because I would go at one point, I would say, okay, just, you know, I'm not going to do this job because this is not, it's not a life that I want to live, you know, and it's amazing, yeah.
And there was
his mother also, she's I think 78 and beautiful soul. She's Iraqi. Mm-hmm. Her origins are Iraqi, and she accepted him when he was 16. She said to him, it's fine, and in such an early, you know, it was just amazing to see the relationship that they had, and no tension, nothing, just support him, accept him in such a beautiful way.
There were two other inspiring parts of the documentary to me that are really memorable. One is the cover of the World Pride 2006 program, which had the most amazing sort of aerial shot of Jerusalem with the sort of beautiful buildings and then a rainbow coming through, which was just gorgeous. Yeah. And then the second one was the Jewish rabbi woman from the States who came to Jerusalem before the World Pride March, and she actually,
Sharon Kleinbaum,
and she had so much sort of feistiness and energy, and the mayor boycotted the meeting, and so she sat in his seat as this sort of symbol of, you know, there's been a lesbian sitting in this seat and I'm a rabbi.
Yeah, it was great.
No, he was probably getting oxygen somewhere. It was all too much for him.
So the actual event did take place after so much adversity.
Yeah, it happened in a weird version, unfortunately, because what happened is that, you know, Noah, the leader, one of the leaders in the open house at the end, she continued and went to the court, and Israel is a democratic place, and we won, and we marched half a kilometer. It was about 4,000 people who arrived, but we were surrounded by 7,000 police officers that were sort of like,
Just think how many of those police officers were gay, you see. There'd be some of them.
Say 6,000.
Yeah.
Marching. Yeah. But it was, you know, at least it happened. It didn't happen in the right form that they wanted to do it, but it still happens, and it shows that resistance and, you know, commitment, and if you believe in something, you can do it. And listen, at the end, what happened is what was really funny. The religious extreme communities realized that because of their resistance, which was so strong, they actually did the opposite of what they wanted
they
to do.
They've given it huge publicity.
They gave a huge publicity. Everybody in their community talked about what, you know, a gay man, a lesbian. The kids would talk about that. So basically what happened is, like, everybody knew about it. And they realized in a way that they sort of like lost, because it's not good for them. And at the last local gay march that was in Jerusalem last year, they kind of like were really quiet, so the resistance wasn't the same, you know. So it's funny how it is, you know. So it does mean that we can make a progress, because I think that, again, it all comes from fear of the unknown, you know. At those communities, it's really a fear. They don't really know, because there's a lot of gays in their community, and there's a lot of people that, you know, want to live their life, but there's this fear, you know.
So will we see some of those people that were very anti-gays leaders of PFLAG in Jerusalem in the future, do you think?
I think so, yeah. It happens. Yeah, definitely. It happens, because definitely.
They were characters.
Oh, that's one way to put it.
You reckon we should chip Nan McGregor over, Lindsay?
I think so, yeah, most definitely. Because the woman, she just had me going, you mentioned her earlier. I think her name was Minna or Mia.
Minna.
And she was on the streets trying to gather support, and she was unrelenting, but there was still, I couldn't help it, there was still something likeable about her.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely likeable about her. And when her friend came out and said, you know, gays, they can, you know, there's a medication they can take it, and they're off having friends, you know, orgies with their 500 friends, I'm thinking, what did I miss about the gay? Like, I'm going to Jerusalem if that's what happens over there.
I mean, there's only 365 days in a year.
Well,
yeah. So they'd have to do it every, you know, 14 hours.
Well, there's a public holidays day every week, and
you'd
have a few extra in.
You'd have to have time off.
Oh, and on that note, we'll come back to that in just a few moments. If you just joined the program, this is the Detours Travel Show with Jodie, Macca and Lindsay, our special guest, and our other special guest, who is all the way from Israel, Nitzan Galady, who is here for the Queer Film Festival here in Melbourne.
All the lights of London, shining skies faded red to blue.
And that's the gorgeous David Gray, and that's Babylon here on Joy 94.9. This is the Detours Travel Show.
With Macca.
And Lindsay.
And Jody. Now, we have a guest in the studio, Nitzan Galady, who is here visiting from Israel to not just have a holiday and enjoy Australia, but also to have the screening of his film this week, for the Queer Film Festival, Jerusalem is proud to present.
And can I just add, because I sometimes I forget that, I just want to really thank the Melbourne Queer Film Festival for having me here, which are doing such a great job, and you know, the program is beautiful, and I think that Lisa Daniel is just amazing, the director of the film festival, and also the Israeli embassy that brought me here, because that's, you know, when Lisa heard that the Israeli embassy is gonna support having me here and also help a little bit of the festival, she went like, whoa, that's great. Because you always hear so many, like, just, you know, bad things that's happening there, And so I just want to thank them.
The power the power of democracy.
Of democracy, yes.
Yes. Never underestimate it. We take it for granted.
Yeah, definitely.
What's next? Do you have a project you'd really love to do? Something that
I'm actually working on a fiction script, which is I've been trying to write it for years, and it's about my coming out to my family. So that's going to be a big thing. My origins are Yemenite, so it's also dealing with the Yemenite Jewish culture. So I think it's going to be interesting, and part of it will be shot in Sydney. So the first 7 minutes are going to be in Sydney. So that would be interesting for me. I hope that for the audience.
Oh, I'm sure it will. Based on what we've seen this week.
Hopefully.
Yes. Yeah, you've won our hearts. And with the scripture, how far down are you and how close are we to seeing the movie?
I'm about to finish the fifth draft. So hopefully like in a year or two. Let's say we'll start filming. So I think two years, something like right. that. Yeah.
And will we see your parents here? Because you were saying earlier that when you go back, you're going on a road trip with the family to the Grand Canyon.
Yes, yeah. I'm going from here. I'm going to LA, and actually for the first time, all the family is going to come together. Mm-hmm. And my father had planned a trip to the Grand Canyon.
Fantastic.
You're going to put all the family in one big caravan with seven beds, and it's going to be really interesting. To find myself in the desert with my family, that yes. would be...
Yeah, there's no escape
there's
there.
There's no escape, no, you know, and...
And are your family spread around the world, or are you meeting for the first time in a while?
I have a brother who lives in LA, and the rest is in Israel. So, but they... Yeah, it's going to be actually the first time that we're all together outside of Israel, which is interesting.
Do you know, Nitzan, if there are any other family members who are gay, that you might sort of... There might be something in common with when you try to escape, if it gets too heavy? Is there any other gay members of the family?
Not really.
No.
No. Not that I know.
No, it could be an interesting trip.
When I came out, my mum was convinced that the gay genes came from my dad's side of the family because one of my dad's cousins is a lesbian. He lives in the Blue Mountains. And that all the sort of mental illness came from my mum's side of the family. So that's how she split it up. There you go.
So, but you always have surprises, you know. You never know.
Yeah,
things happen.
Yeah, well, often there's always a skeleton in the closet somewhere.
Yeah, well, often people's of our parents' generation, you know, you hear about Maud and Mary, you know, the long-time companion, you know, usually an aunt or you know, a spinster. I love that word, spinster.
Spinster.
But, yeah, so, I mean, this film, I mean, how will you deal, you said you're going to deal part of with your heritage on that. I mean, how important is that in terms of obviously important in terms of telling the story, but do you find that that's something that might take over from the other story about coming out, or
No, I think that it really has it goes parallel. It's a parallel and also sort of like blend together, because it's very much about, you know, who I am and my culture, you know, because it can be just about coming out. It's coming out to a specific family, a specific cultural, so I think that it all blends, you know. Mm. And it's interesting to see it because the tradition is I think really beautiful, and so it's just from an artistic point of view, just the images that I can have, because I don't know how much you got a chance to see some of the like the customs that they use, the whole thing with the food, just the colors. So it's going to be really interesting to work with that.
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing that. Now, for people who have unfortunately missed your film at the Queer Film Festival, is it screening elsewhere, anywhere around the world that they could just plan their holidays around?
I should have the list. I know that it's going to be in Maine in the US very soon. It's going to be in Sweden in, I think, June. There's a list of it. I'm sure that if you just Google Jerusalem is proud to present, you'll just get that. It will come out. But it's been all over the world up until now. It's been in 70 film festivals, and it's doing really well. It's going to be in January in New York again at one of the Jewish the JCC Center. So if you just Google, you'll find it out there.
And is it available for purchase?
Not yet. We are still trying to figure out how to do it. We're looking for a DVD.
Speak to Lisa, she'll know.
Yeah, I'll
speak
I'll
to
do
Dano,
that.
She'll work it out.
Oh, it's been delightful to hear your personal experiences, not just of making the documentary, but of your own travel experiences, both abroad and in Australia. So, Nitzan, we wish you the very best for your next
Thank
venture.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
And congratulations. I think it takes a lot of courage.
Thank you.
It really does.
to make that well done.
Thank you.
And we'd love to keep in touch and hear more about your developments and have you back on Detours when you're back in Australia.
Yeah, come back to Australia.
Okay.
Come and live in Australia.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Now, we'll just finish up here before 1 o'clock when we'll have the news, and there's something coming
there
up.
There is. Now, look, the next week is National Youth Week, and it's the largest celebration of young people in Australia from 12 to 25. When did they choose 12? Anyway, it's taking place from the 28th of March to the 5th of April, and it's to encourage young people to share ideas, attend live events, have their voices heard, which is really important, show their talents, celebrate their contribution, take part in competitions. Oh, competitions, Lindsay.
Oh, great.
Competitions. Mm-hmm. Now, Joy is the media partner for this event, which is really quite significant because Joy's got a really great history in supporting young gays and lesbians, but also offering young Australians an opportunity to learn radio because we actually put back into the community, not just our own community.
And there's been a lot of fabulous support from the Foundation for Young Australians as well for those programs that Joy operate for young people and radio.
Very, very important, Jodie, very important. So, yeah, support it, even if we are over 25 and definitely over 12.
We are just a little, in fact, double on double that.
Oh, I wouldn't say.
And so coming up this week, so from the 28th to the 5th of April, where Joy Melbourne's going to be out and about at Monash in Caulfield on Tuesday between 2 and 4, Princess Hill Secondary College in Carlton 12 till 2, and some of the younger presenters are also going to be involved on some of the established programs right through the week. So it's a really important way to hear the voices of young people from our community and to make sure that people feel included, loved and supported.
Now, I'm just looking on here. Do we know the website address, Jode? Here we go. Yes. Oh, hang on. Yes.
I have an email.
Yeah, that's
if that would help.
Yeah, we'll give that.
It's jennyyeo@joy.org.au. That's the youth coordinator at Joy. Is that the one we're after?
Yeah, she'll know.
Yep, she'll know. So if you just email jennyyeo@joy.org.au, and she'll get back to you and give you the information you require.
Absolutely. Mm. Can I do my Cheerios at the end?
You can.
You can.
I wasn't allowed to do them at the beginning.
Well, we're on a schedule.
I know. Well, Chow Cow, who's having lunch somewhere, so he's probably not listening. Sula and Elsa, who are listening. Bronnie, Andrea, Horst, Angelica, Sam, Gavin Bean, Dallas Fort Worth. I do that every time, Lindsay, so
we've talked to her.
Emily and Tom, and of course, thanks to Father for Dave down at the Grand Prix, and Mick Doohan. Now, what are you doing for the next week, Jode?
Well, you know what? I'm being a nerd. Mm. Which probably doesn't surprise you. I've just started my Masters of Business Philanthropy and Social Investment. So I'm being a girly swot and hitting the books.
Mm, you know what that means? She's going to hit me up for a donation at some point, I reckon. I can see that coming.
No,
I can see that coming.
I'm studying this weekend. And I've actually got a reunion this afternoon with some friends from high school, one of whom I haven't seen for 20 years.
Wow. High school.
Yeah.
I've done a few of those in my day, and they're very interesting. Very, very interesting. And it's one of the things I've found with Facebook, the amount of people that come out like school friends are unbelievable. And you think, oh, my God. And that people
know
don't
that.
Change.
Yes, no,
people
they don't.
People really don't change.
They say the scene doesn't change, only the actors.
Only the actors, yeah. Or times change, people don't.
Yes, absolutely.
And Lindsay, what are you up to this week?
Yeah.
This weekend, well, after I leave here, I'm going down to have coffee with a friend, and then I have to go home and clean my bedroom.
Oh.
It is an absolute mess. And tomorrow, if it's hot like this, I'm heading down the coast to get on my boogie board and catch a few big ones.
Fantastic.
Well, of course, it's a great opportunity to explore Victoria and make sure that you're supporting regional communities, especially ones impacted by the bushfires. And we are open for business in Victoria.
We are, and we're still Tim Holding. I know where you are today. I know where you are. You're down at the Grand Prix, but you've got to come on, Joy, as Minister for Tourism, and talk about this. So just tell people in your office to let you come in. No, it's a timing thing. It's a timing thing. But he needs to come in because Victoria is open. In fact, we're not on next Saturday because there's an outside broadcast, but I've taken Jodie's advice and I am going to stay at a place that I've rented in an area that wasn't actually affected by fire, but they've lost lots and lots of bookings. And it is important, you know, to remember fires, yes, they were a long time ago and they were very, very tragic, but Victoria is open for business. So get out there and, you know, spend your money. The people need it.
Love every piece of it.
And yeah. I think too, David and Jody and Nitin, it's emotionally important for these people as well because,
absolutely.
You know, the so-called, I don't know, hype has died down a little bit and it's time to actually go down there and, you know, just support the local business, have a coffee.
Terps and Tucker, though.
Terps and Tucker, of course, Macca, Terps and Tucker. But, yeah, just get down there and support, even if you're having a coffee or whatever, and just have a chat to them. I think it's very, very important.
It is.
Absolutely. And we'll be back again, not next Saturday, because there's a special broadcast, but the following Saturday.
The 10th or the 11th.
No, I don't know.
Somewhere like
anyway,
that.
Anyway, get your calendar out, work it out.
But before Anzac Day, anyway.
It'll be at 12 noon on Joy Melbourne 94.9. We're going to have Anthony with the news very shortly at 1 o'clock, and then we'll have Mark and Karen with the matinee.
Fantastic.
Have a great weekend.
You too, Jody.
And thanks for joining us, Lindsay, as a special guest.
Thank you.
Yes.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.